And good afternoon. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company Radio Station, and it's Monday, the 3 o'clock hour, and that means Ask the Designer. We're here each Monday during the 3 o'clock hour, and we like to talk about lots of good things here. We are talking about design, decorating, party planning, you name it, Greg, we talk about it.
That's right. And your favorite part is the recipes every week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The recipes are a great time, too. So we are here on Mondays, like I mentioned, at 3 o'clock hour, and we talk about lots of stuff. But, Greg, today we're starting a new series.
We're starting a series. Yeah, I've dreamt up this series of things that when you get a new house or changing houses even, maybe not a brand new home, but a different home for you. And then in some cases when we're changing homes, we're like people like my age that you're downsizing, changing the house around a little bit, making things a little more a smaller nest. So the third installment of this is going to be talking about that downsizing and, you know, things like that. So, you know, you may want to listen in for 3 weeks in a row or, you know, go back and look at the archive and you tell them where they are, where the archives are.
That's right. We, don't worry if you can't listen to us live one day. Each show is recorded and available for you to review on our website. And of course, that's also where we'd like you to go and submit any ideas or suggestions you'd like us to discuss. And you can go to newsknoxcounty.com and click on the Ask the Designer logo. That takes you to our webpage, and you can see there's a little form to fill out and send us your ideas that you want to discuss. Or you can look at previous shows. They're labeled there date by date, and replay that. And so don't worry if you can't jot down the recipe while we're talking about it. You can always go back starting the next day and then write it down, take your time. So that's what's great about that.
Right. The other thing we want to do, Cher, since this is the Monday before Labor Day, we want to remind people that Labor Day, the Cardinals are playing a ball game.
Yes.
So our spot will be filled with a baseball game that Monday. So the new series will start today, and then it will run the second and third Mondays in September.
Right, right. Yes, yes. Unfortunately, we won't be here next Monday, but we will pick up in our series then the following Monday and finish that out. So if you turn on the radio and you don't hear us, don't panic. We're okay. It's just the Cardinals are taking our day, and that's okay. That happens once in a while. And right now, they're on a really good tear, so we don't want to disrupt that. So
a lot of happy people in our area because there's a lot of Cardinal fans around our area.
Yeah. And, of course, right now the big thing is it's got to be the salsa. Matt Carpenter made some salsa and brought it in, and everybody's been on fire ever since. So it's got to be the salsa.
Evidently.
There you go. All right. Well, like we mentioned, you can listen to our show live at newsknoxcounty.com. You can tune in on 97.7 FM or AM 1450. Lots of ways to tune in, and we're very thankful for all of our listeners, and we continue to hear feedback from the listeners, and that's great. Shout out this week to Tim Salters. I was told he tunes in regularly to the show and really enjoys it. So, Tim, thanks for listening. And, of course, all the others that we've talked to as well, we really appreciate that. And so, Greg, let's remind everybody the great sponsor that sponsors our show, and that's who you work for. So tell
us
a little bit
about
Regal
Furniture, 102 North 4th Street here in Vincennes. Big red awning around the outside. And, you know, I hope that I can say this very honestly. We've got the friendliest people in that store that you can walk into. Becky and Janice and Jane are just delightful ladies, and they know a lot about the business, and they're learning more every day, and we'd like you to come in and greet them, and they're happy to help you with the gift shop or, you know, any of the various assorted things that we do, window treatments or things like that. Also, you know, at the store, we always are running different specials. We've got a sale table right now.
Oh, great.
And we're closing out some small area rugs, 3x5, 3x5s, 4x6 area rugs are $25.
Oh, wow. That's a great price.
And there's some 5x7s that are $50. So we sold several of those today and had some people in that just loved them. So
fantastic.
Come in, take a look at the rugs.
And you guys have so much to offer. I mean, you're a furniture store, but there's a lot involved with that. You have the gorgeous gift gallery with so many different areas that people can go and find just the right gift. And then, of course, there's the design portion. You know, if somebody has questions or needs help with decorating and design, you're available to do that as well.
Right.
So, and your phone number at the store is?
812-886-4444.
And what are the hours there at the store?
9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. So we're happy to help you, and you can come right in the front door. If those times aren't good for you, you can call and, you know, make an appointment. I'll stay late and meet with you or meet you in the evening if that is a better time for you, or come in early. You know, some people, you know, have different shifts. And,
right.
You know, one lady called one day and she said, my husband works the night shift. He gets off at 8 o'clock in the morning. Could we come in, you know, as soon as he gets off work? Because it's the end of his work day. So
he's awake.
He's awake. And,
yeah.
And, you know, he probably won't be grumpy.
There you go. Right. So, right.
You know, but anyway, they came in early and that was fine. That was great. I start early most days anyway. So.
Yeah. And that's one of the fantastic things. I know that we've talked about it before and you mentioned it briefly, but you and your staff are phenomenal when it comes to customer service and trying to meet the client's needs. I'm always impressed any time that I've been in there making a purchase for furniture or gifts. And I've spent quite a bit of time in the store and watched you and the girls work with clients, and it's just, you know, the smiles on the faces are wonderful to see, and you can tell how much they appreciate how far you guys go for them. So
we're very fortunate. We got a lot of great customers.
Yes. All right. Well, we are going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get started on this new series, so be sure and stay tuned.
Okay.
And we're back here live in the 97.7 FM AM 1450 News Knox County WAOV studios. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company, and thanks so much for tuning in. It's the Ask the Designer show, and we're here on Mondays at the 3 o'clock live local hour. We're glad to anchor the week and start it off because we always have a good time when we do these shows,
don't
we? We
have a great time, Cher.
Yeah. And how could you not have fun when we talk recipes and food, you know?
That right.
Definitely is a good mood for us.
Talk about how to make your house into a home and
yeah,
decorate, be better.
Holidays, you name it, we talk about it. And if you have an idea, topic, or suggestion for us, don't be shy. Reach out to us. You can do that by going to newsknoxcounty.com, click on the Ask the Designer logo, and submit it through the website there. You can call me here at the station, 812-882-6060, or you can email me at shareelliott@originalcompany.com. Or you can also reach out to Greg at the store. And Greg, again, what's the phone number there at the store?
812-886-4444.
So don't be shy. Let us know what you want to hear. But we're excited. We're starting a new series this week.
Right.
And all right. So let's just dive in. Go
all right.
for it.
What's this is all about things to do before you move into a new house. Now, that doesn't mean a new house that's just been built. It could mean a new house, a house that's new to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've been house looking. So
I have.
The one reason I thought this series, I thought this is probably things that Cher needs to know.
And you know, Cher needs help with just about everything. So good.
So the first thing after you sign your closing, you want to change the locks on the exterior doors. You know, when someone lives in a home for a while, and even a new home, there's different people that have keys to get
right.
in and out of that house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's the cleaning lady. There's the delivery person. There's this person, that person. Lots of different keys floating around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, either change the locks or have them rekeyed and change that way. Have a locksmith come in and rekey them. You know, the previous owners, realtors, maintenance people, all kinds of people are going to have keys to that mm-hmm. house. So you need to change that. And also, when you're changing those locks around, if you have a front door and a back door that everybody, the family uses all the time, if you can key those the same, then you're going to have one key on your key ring instead of two key rings.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So that's another thing. Kind of keep that in mind. If you can key all the locks the same for the family, it certainly reduces the number of keys that you have to put on your key ring.
Very nice.
You know, and then also the one thing that many people don't know is if you have deadbolt locks on your doors, you need to let your insurance company know that because there's a little spiff for having deadbolt locks. They're safer. than a standard lock.
Added security feature. There you go. Very nice. Yeah.
And also, if you have an alarm system or anything like that in the new house that you're doing, you know, again, let your insurance company know that. Again, that's a perk for them for a safer home, less chance of break-ins and so on that way. So, you know, all these things that you do to improve security in a house, you need to report to your insurance agency so you get credit for it.
Yes, and every penny helps regardless of what you're doing.
Yeah. The other thing too is when you're insuring your house, remember that the insurance on the house covers the window treatments.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Because they are a physical part of the home now.
They're permanently attached to the house, particularly if they're custom made.
Yeah.
They are a part of the house. So the insurance is covered under the building part of the home rather than contents. So, you know, you want to be sure and do that. The other thing is if you're redecorating and done a lot more stuff or it's a bigger home, you know, be sure to look at the amount of insurance you have on the contents. Normally, most insurance companies, half of what the house is worth, they use for the price of the contents. A lot of homes, that does not cover everything that's in that house.
Yeah.
So, you know, there again, that's another thing to look at. You may want to up that insurance on the contents up 20-25%.
Very good. Very good. Something, and what I like are some of these are just, you know, things that you know in your mind and you think about, but you forget. So it's great for us to be revealing some of these and bringing them back to the top of the mind to keep them keep us aware. So.
Well, and that's the time to do it when you have a new home.
Right.
Because if you're buying things, it's easy to keep track of it then and increase your insurance and do what you need to do. Where later on, you know, you may do a room over, but you don't think about adding that to your insurance.
Right. And, you know, if you're doing just one room and it's made some upgrades, likely probably not going to be a big impact on the difference in the home. But when you're looking at, like you said at the beginning, where you're doing update on window treatments and new doors with those deadbolts and all the paint or the new flooring and all that, that really does add up and add quite a bit of additional value.
A lot of times people change a front door. They want to update the front entrance you know, that sort of thing. So you want to watch that. Now, number two on your list, and you know, everybody does this. They want to get the house cleaned up. Okay. But here's what they forget. Chimneys. Wood-burning chimneys need to be cleaned out. And you need to do that before you clean the house.
True. Yeah.
You know, you don't want to clean up the house and have the chimney sweep come in and blow soot all over the living room.
Very good point.
You know.
Very good point.
Doesn't make the people cleaning the house happy, you know, whether it's you or somebody else.
Right.
And the other thing is, remember, heating and cooling ducts are full of dust and dirt and grime. So the first thing you do is clean the chimneys, clean the heating ducts, clean the air conditioning vents, clean all that first so that when you get possession and you turn on that furnace for the first winter or the air conditioning for the first summer, you don't blow soil and things into your house. So.
Very good point. Okay, now this brings up another question.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is just a general question. You know how my mind works with this. So when you're cleaning, because you were talking about dust, do you dust first and then you vacuum, or do you vacuum and then you dust?
You dust first, then you vacuum, because the dust is going to fall to the floor.
Okay. The reason I ask is because some people say that when you vacuum, it does make the dust go back in the air and go on the furniture. So I always dust and then vacuum, but while we were here, I thought I'd ask the question.
Well, the old vacuum cleaners used to do that. They kind of blew the dust into the air. Now most of the vacuums have filters and things, and you know, they're very well sealed, not the way that cleaners used to be.
Sure.
I think years ago when they had the old vacuums that had an exhaust on them almost.
Right.
You know, then you would blow stuff back into the house. But today I don't think that's a possibility. The other thing is do not use Pledge on your good furniture. Pledge, the reason it shines and doesn't streak is it's got enough alcohol in it that makes that evaporate. And that's why you get that high sheen and it doesn't streak. But that alcohol dries out your furniture.
Oh.
So use microfiber dust cloths if you need something that helps pick it up better. You know, you use a little bit of end dust. Never, ever spray or apply oil or anything of any kind like that directly onto wood furniture.
Okay.
Always apply it to a rag first and then wipe it on or wipe it off or wipe on and wipe off.
Uh-huh.
But don't spray it on the product, on the furniture itself.
Okay, well, yeah. I've learned a lot then because I use Pledge for my end tables and woodwork. So I will be getting rid of every can.
That's a no-no.
See, I learn every week. I learn on this show. So that's why we have to have people listen in, because there's so many things that we need to still learn about.
Right. And microfiber cloths are great to clean mirrors and windows with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just put clear water on them and wipe them down. And it'll take all your grime off, because the microfiber grabs onto those things, soils and so on.
Really?
So they do a great job.
Even toothpaste slobber on a mirror, it'll clean that off with just water and a microfiber towel?
I think so.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to try that. I'm going to have to try that. All right. All right. So I'm taking notes here. Carry on.
Okay. Then when you've got all this other stuff cleaned up, you know, then also, you know, this is a good time when we're talking about cleaning and everything. You also, you know, when you're cleaning, you also want to have the mechanical equipment cleaned and serviced. So while we're talking about this, let's talk about the mechanical cleaning too.
Okay.
Because many, many furnaces have an option for an air cleaner on them. And I did this in my house. And I don't have to dust every week anymore. I can go a couple weeks and not dust.
What?
And yes, it really does a great job. So, you know, if you're looking at changing a heating and cooling system, make sure you put that on. You know, make sure that you have, you know, get the equipment cleaned and serviced. You know, change the filters on the furnace, because you don't know how long they've been in there. The people may not change them for 5 years. You know, it's amazing. I've told people a lot of times, change your furnace filters, and they go, oh my gosh, I can't believe these people never change those furnace filters.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you service the heating and cooling and clean and do all that before you clean the house, again, you're ahead of the hounds. You don't want to find out later that there's something that doesn't work in the basement, so they have to put in a new heating system. So they have to drag the old heating system out through your cleaned house.
Mm-hmm. That nice clean carpet.
Yeah. Nice clean floors. And you've got workmen tracking back and forth. No. No, do the cleaning after you've done all these other things first. You've already had the locks changed, so if the locksmith leaves some little scraps of metal or something like that, they can be picked up later too. So, you know, just think about a practical application, okay?
There you go.
Then the other thing that is really good advice is, if it's a brand new house, you don't have to do this because you've already had one coat of paint put on it. But if it's an older existing house, you know, before you move in is the prime time to paint the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
Paint your ceilings, paint your walls, do the trim if it needs it. You know, if you do it now, you don't have to do it later. And even if you're not sure about what colors you want, if you put just a basic coat of white or a nice cream color on, you can always go back and paint another color later if you want to. But you've got a good clean surface all the way through the house.
Very good idea.
So, you know, just consider, you know, a neutral color and do that. You're going to be a lot further ahead.
Yeah.
The other thing you want to think about when you're painting, you take switch plates off, outlet covers, all those kinds of things. What kind of shape are those in? Are some of them broken? Some of them cracked? Some of the outlet covers broken, or the outlets have black outlets in them with a white cover on it, you know.
Yeah.
It may be time to, you know, kind of fix all those problems too before you move in. Then you're done, taken care of. Particularly, you know, older houses that have had several renovations will have mismatched outlets, dirty and discolored cover plates, rusted or damaged vent covers, you know, register covers, vent covers, those kinds of things. And it never ceases to amaze me. I walk in so many houses, and many times a lady says, that vent in that ceiling or the vent in the wall, that cold air return or, you know, drives me crazy. And I said, paint it the same color as the ceiling or paint it the same color as the wall.
I was just going to ask, is that allowed? Is that a taboo to paint those?
No.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. What about like the electrical sockets on the wall? Can you paint those covers?
You really shouldn't.
Okay. So
you really
should keep those.
Yeah.
That a cream, a white, or dark color, whatever
right.
you've selected.
Right.
And the plate should match the plugs in the wall. Is that
that's
correct?
Right.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
we don't want to contrast. What about floor vents? We talked about the cold return ducts in the ceiling
right.
or in the wall. What about the floor vents
they
or whatever?
They should match whatever they're going to.
Okay, so if they're a baseboard, it should match the baseboards.
Right.
If it's in the floor.
It should match the carpet or the wood flooring or whatever. You can buy wood vent covers.
Yeah, I've seen those. And I've seen some that are brassy and, you know, that's kind of nice.
We did a job just recently and put a new hardwood floor in a big living room for a customer. And I said, let's get wood vent covers.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady goes, oh, yeah, why not? We're changing the floor. Why not make it right?
Again, just something small that nobody's really thinking about, but that's what.
Right.
Why?
But we took it a step further. When we ordered the flooring, we ordered some extra stain.
Aha.
So we bought unfinished wood vent covers and stained them to match the floor.
Look at you. You always have the answers. You always have the answers. All right. Well, it's time for our next break. So be sure and stay tuned. We're going to finish talking about things what we should do before we move into a new house or new to us home. So be sure and stay tuned. And we're back here live in the 97.7 FM AM 1450 WAOV studios. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company radio station, and it's the Ask the Designer show. We're here each Monday at the 3 o'clock hour, and we kick off the week right. We have lots of fun while we're here, don't
right.
we, Greg?
Right.
But the 3 o'clock local hour is a great program all week. You should stay tuned. Tuesdays is the Mark and Mark show. Mark Hill and Mark McNeese talking about lots of things going on and the latest trends. Thursdays is also the show of the lawyers. Jeff Cobb and Dave Rolligan come in and talk about what's going on in the legal world and answer questions. But, you know, the cool kids, we start off on Mondays. So we are so thankful to have you here tuned in and listening to us. And this week, we're starting a new series of different things. And today, what we're talking about are some of the things that we need to do before we move into a new home. Not necessarily a new home, new construction, but a new-to-you home.
Right.
And lots of great tips. You know, some, like I've mentioned before, I mean, they're kind of the obvious, but you don't think about these things. Change the locks, key the locks all the same at the house. You know, let your insurance company know of the safety values that you have, deadbolts, alarm systems. And also make sure you have enough insurance to cover everything because as
right.
we've learned through our series and different things we've talked about, the window treatments are actually, since they're connected to the walls, they are considered part of the home, not, an amenity. So you want
right.
to make sure that's covered. Clean out the chimney if you've got a wood burner. Clean out your heating and cooling ducts. You know, again, something you so simple you would think about, but you don't. Here's the big takeaway for me today. I've got to stop using Pledge. It has no more Pledge, just microfiber cloths. And then the last thing we talked about before going to break was putting the either paint the house before you move in because, you know, now's the perfect time. You don't have any
right.
of the furniture in there. It's
right.
easy to get in, paint, and be done. Or and if you don't know what color you want to do, throw some a soft neutral on there, a
right.
tan, a cream,
right.
a white.
You can always change it later.
But that helps give it that nice, clean, crisp look and
yes.
of new. So definitely do those things. And all of those are pretty simple and easy to do for yourselves and not expensive.
No.
So
great. We also talked about the heating vents. Remember, Sharon,
oh,
we
yeah.
were talking about painting them the same as the
right.
whatever the background was and everything. And like cold air returns in new construction, a lot of times they just cut out the drywall and put the vent over it. So you see the raw 2x4s
yes.
and the raw wall
yes.
behind it. Okay. Paint that interior black.
Oh.
Then it disappears.
Yeah.
And you don't see those raw 2x4s through the vents. You know, it's like, Oh, yeah, there's a 2x4 ran through that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, because, right. In the last home I was in, it had that you could see, and they don't run necessarily that metal ductwork all the way around. They just leave it exposed and open. So, yep. Yeah, very good idea. Simple.
Yep.
All right, what are some...
And the other thing, before you move in, install your window treatments.
Yeah.
Get your windows taken care of. Obviously, you don't want to have a bathroom with an open window.
No.
Or a bedroom with an open window.
No.
So if you're changing your home, install the window treatments. And a lot of times people will, they'll say, well, what should I do? Put the price for your window treatments in with your mortgage.
Uh-huh.
It's a part of the house.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You can pay for it over a period of time. It's not like a chunk of money right after you bought a house.
Right.
An extra couple thousand, $2,000 or $3,000 for window treatments thrown into the mortgage is not going to raise your mortgage payment that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, plan, because those window treatments, the right window treatments, can save you on heating and cooling.
Right.
And pay for themselves real quickly.
And protect your floor and your furniture. So,
right.
It's just a good overall investment.
Right.
All right. So then after that, now what?
Okay. Now, for first-time home buyers, the newlyweds and the people that have decided to cohabitate and so on, first-time buyer's guide to home maintenance, okay? Again, we're going to talk about that mechanical, the furnace and HVAC filters. Turn off the system, inspect it, look at it, This is good for people buying a home that someone else has been living in, because they don't know if it's good or not. So just turn off the system, take the filters out, look at them for dirt and grime. If they're dark and dirty looking, get suitable replacements, and then make a note. And every year, we always remember when we moved into a new house, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so right after you move in, and every year at the same time afterwards, change those filters and do the mechanical upgrades that you need, blah, 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 all that sort of thing,
Yeah.
The other thing, when you buy an existing home, you probably need to re-caulk the windows.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The 80% of the winter heat loss occurs due to cracks in a home. And sealing the spaces around the windows with caulk goes a long way towards solving that problem. So... caulking processes and products vary depending on the type of windows and siding you have. So talk to your local handyman or your realtor or, another person that has had a lot of experience with that and say, I need to do some caulking. Who does it well? Who does it best? Blah, blah, blah. Most people will tell you that you should caulk with a product that has a movement capability of 25-50%. That, since it moves 50%, it gives you an extensive range of adhesion applications and a 20-year weather seal warranty. And I think Dow Corning makes one that's like that. Make sure the surfaces are clean and dry. Pay particular attention to the temperature specifications and the product information. Since temperatures change most of the morning, it's smart to start your caulking project after 10 a.m., so you don't have that rapid change.
Yeah, because it's interesting, especially right now in our area, we're going to very soon be seeing those nice, cool mornings and then the heat up. And we've had a few of those in the last couple of weeks, but...
Right.
Yeah, you definitely want to be mindful, and of course, there's a lot of moisture there in the morning as well. So,
right.
Yeah, I definitely want to let the sun be up a little bit and temperatures.
Right.
Go.
And this is the perfect time of year to check that caulking at the end of the summer, because you can touch any of the damaged caulking while the weather's still dry. We're
mm-hmm.
not getting a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm.
So, the other thing is, if you don't have a basement in the home, you have a crawl space. So you really need to grab a flashlight and take your vent cover off the outside and shine your flashlight in. Take a close look at it. Make sure you don't have any water collecting in your crawl space. That avoids mold and water damage. Pay attention to corners, edges, changes in colors. Use your fingers to test for dampness if you aren't sure by just looking at the flashlight. If you find any water, call a home inspector immediately to figure out where it's coming from, particularly if you've got standing water down there and it hasn't rained. So,
yeah, that's definitely bad. Water can do so much damage, and you not even realize it, just standing there and the moistness and mold and fungi and that's a real mess to deal with.
Check wood decks for moisture too if you're looking at a house.
Oh,
there's a splash test. They'll tell you if the last seal's still working. Fill a glass of water and spill it on your deck, and you see tiny beads of moisture form on the surface. That's the sign that's still repelling the water, of course. If that doesn't happen, then you know you need to reseal that deck. So if you're looking at buying a home, you might want to try that and see if that needs to be something on your list to do as soon as you move in. It's probably not going to break the deal of the house.
Sure.
It's good to know what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, the little things that you need to take care of and maintain. How often should you reseal your deck?
Usually annually.
Annually? Okay.
Then you check and touch up the exterior paint. You know, that besides contributing to curb appeal, paint and stain serve as important protection, preventing your gutters from rusting, wood siding from rotting. You know, walk around the home, get up on the ladder if needed, look for chipping, peeling, blistering, crackering, even on the trim. So touching things up just means sanding, scraping, patching, priming, repainting a small area. But if you see a widespread area of damage, it might be wise to repaint that whole area. So, you know, take a look at it, see it. Again, if you're buying a new house, it's probably good to do that inspection yourself around the outside. You know, so... You know, we've talked about servicing the furnace and cleaning the, we said to check wood burning fireplaces that you don't have a creosote buildup, which is, can cause a huge fire. Check the bathtub caulk and toilet seals. You know, that's a place where, you know, you can get, I'm working right now with a client that had a leak in a bathroom. They didn't know it was there. They didn't check the crawl space. And it not only damaged the bathroom walls, but it's also damaged the common dining room wall that's next to it. So they're in a three-month reclamation project now of revamping that whole bathroom and then changing out the dining room wall even.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, these checkups are important to save you any big surprises, expensive surprises that you're not expecting. So, you know, just annually set up a time to do it annually. You know, these little simple inspections. Again, clean your gutters and roof valleys. Mm-hmm. Look at those. You know, that can be done once a year. If you have asphalt paving, you need to seal the cracks. That will extend the life of your driveway because it prevents water from seeping underneath and creating potholes. So, you know, check your driveway every summer. Again, this time of year, this is the perfect time. Walk around your asphalt and see what kind of shape it's in. Give your garbage disposal some TLC. You know, waste particles clogging on your blades and inside the drain to get stinky and even clog your disposal. So, do you know the easy tip for this?
I've heard ice cubes and I've heard orange peels.
All right. I'll tell you here's the hint.
Okay.
Pour a cup of vinegar in an ice cube tray, stick it in the freezer, freeze it, then throw all the vinegar cubes in the disposal and turn it on. The cubes scrub the blades and drain while the vinegar dissolves the scum.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
You know, and personally, I pour a little bleach in with it and some Dawn detergent.
There you go.
But, you know, that's a good way just to clean it. And, you know, you can buy the cleaner in the supermarket, but this is pretty easy. Do it two or three times a year. You won't have any odor or anything.
Exactly. All right. Well, it's time for our next break. So be sure and stay tuned for us to wrap up these tips. And, of course, don't miss our recipe. And we're back here live in the 97.7 FM WAOV studios. It's Ask the Designer. I'm Cher Elliott with Greg Risley. And Greg, we've had a great show today talking about things to do before we move in a new home. But now I'm a homeowner. I need tools.
That's right.
So
that's right.
What do you suggest?
I've got a list, and I'm just going to read the list to you so the people can go to the website and get this list if they want it. A Phillips screwdriver, which is a little X-shaped screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
A flathead screwdriver, which most people know what that is. You should have a 25-foot metal tape. You should have a level.
Ooh.
And it doesn't have to be a big level. It can be one of those small bullet levels.
Okay.
Just to set on top of things and see if it's level or not, particularly if you're going to hang window treatments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Utility knife with refills, razor blade kind.
Oh.
A good heavy hammer. A putty knife. A nail set. A nail set's handy a lot of times, not only to set the nails, but if you've got a little brad that you need to drive in,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it's easier to use a nail set to get that brad in than the head of the hammer.
Ah.
A combination square, and most people kind of frown at this, but it really is helpful, particularly if you're hanging curtains or drapery or even hanging pictures.
Okay.
The pliers, and they just said a regular set of pliers. But I also think everybody I have a set of needle nose pliers in the little toolbox.
Very nice.
An adjustable crescent wrench.
Mm-hmm.
A wire stripper.
Oh.
A hex key. Do you know what a hex key is?
I'm going to guess that's like an Allen wrench.
Right. It looks like a knife, and it's got all these Allen wrenches inside
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
like you'd pull out a blade.
Okay.
And you pull out the different Allen wrench sizes and so on.
Yes.
Power drill.
I have one of those.
Good. Heavy duty electrical cord.
Yes.
C clamp, because if you have to, you know, glue something back together, you need to clamp it while it dries. A flashlight, of course.
Yes.
Ladder or step stool.
Yes.
A broom and dustpan.
Of course.
Be one of those little handheld ones. That's okay. Kind of handy.
Yeah.
A small vacuum. I really like a small vacuum because we take one with us when we do window treatments and we can zip up all that dust and everything really easily.
That's a great idea.
You know, and then the other thing that I like to have in a household, and a lot of lists don't give you this one, is a staple gun, a little arrow staple gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like to staple back the skirt on the sofa if it gets
sure.
pulled off or
absolutely.
The bottom of lining of a chair or
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
or that. But anyway, those are the tools that I think every homeowner should have at their disposal in their home.
Very nice. And you know what? I think I have almost all of them. I think there might be four that I was missing. So.
Well, very good.
Yay, I'm so excited. All right. Well, of course, now I'm really excited because it's my favorite part of the show. And I think you mentioned you brought two recipes today.
No, dear. You're just getting one today. The other one will be in 2 weeks because we're going to skip next Monday.
That's right. All right.
Okay.
So, what are we cooking up today, Greg?
This is southern pecan pie made in an iron skillet.
Ooh, okay. Is it pecan or is it pecan?
Because
my grandma always said it was a pecan pie.
I think a lot of people in the South say pecan,
okay.
And I think the Northerners say pecan. So
okay, all right.
It's probably both right.
So I guess I'm a Yankee and she's a Southern girl. So
right.
All right.
Right. Well, you take get a pre-made pie crust. Refrigerated pie crust,
mm-hmm.
and preheat your oven to 325 and put your pie crust in a 10-inch cast iron skillet and sprinkle the pie crust with powdered sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Then whisk 4 large eggs in a large bowl until foamy, and then whisk in 1.5 cups of brown sugar and flour, milk. This recipe calls for 1.5 teaspoons of bourbon, but you can use vanilla instead.
Ooh.
And 1.5 cups of pecan halves. Now, pour that mixture after you get it all mixed up into the pie shell.
Okay.
And then bake at 325 degrees for 30 minutes. Reduce the oven temperature to 300 and bake 30 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then turn the oven off and let pie stand in the oven with the door closed for 3 hours.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, that 3 hours that you're waiting, the kitchen's full of that smell of pecans
mm-hmm.
and brown sugar and melted butter.
bourbon. And bourbon, if you use bourbon.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, is it cocktail time?
That's right.
Or
that's
what's
right.
going on?
That's right. Well, so what's the advantage of using the cast iron skillet?
Well, everybody says a cast iron skillet makes the best cornbread. They say cast iron skillets make the best upside down pineapple, upside down cake. Why wouldn't it make the best pecan pie too?
True. Of course, you know, it's.
I think the seasoning from the bacon and the fat that's done in it, you know, is going to go into that pie crust.
Everything's better with bacon.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, the home cook like me could fool people and they'd think it was real pie crust maybe.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. Now my favorite thing that came out of grandma's cast iron skillet was fried chicken.
That's good too.
And popcorn. She used that bacon grease and to make the popcorn. Oh my gosh, that was the
nothing
best
better
popcorn
than bacon ever. Grease popcorn.
There's nothing better than bacon, but so really, really good recipe. And that would be some. I might even try pecan pie if it had bacon grease in it, you know, and came from the skillet. So, all right. Well,
iron skillet holds the heat too.
And
I bet you get a crispier crust with it.
When you say cast iron skillet, I think you're putting it on the stovetop. I didn't even think about putting it in the oven, but yeah, I mean that's a great idea because it heats better. You know, it heats more thorough. You know, that's my grandma talking that it heats better and cooks better because it distributes the heat better than, you know, these newfangled pots and pans that are out there. So,
that's right.
It'll help with that as well. But
I've got a cast iron Dutch oven that belonged to my great grandmother.
Oh.
And you can put any piece of meat in there. I don't care how cheap that piece of meat is. And it's tender when it comes out of that cast iron Dutch oven.
Very good. Very good. Well, we're winding down here. You know, this hour just flies right by with us. Yeah, we want
to hear section two of this about new homes. You're going to have to skip a week.
That's right. So we will be out next week. Cardinals are playing. Go Cards. Glad
to
see they're on a streak.
Have a safe and happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day as well. And if you missed us, tune us back in on NewsTalksCounty.com starting tomorrow. But we're here on Mondays at 3 o'clock. So come back in 2 weeks from today to catch the next segment. And we appreciate you listening in.